Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grace City Church.
My sermon this morning is from 2 Peter chapter 2. I just give you an illustration of the different radio station, you know, that is being podcasting at the same time. And I wonder, can you hear what they are saying? There are so many voices shouting at us in our world. The voices of media, social media, Facebook. One of the funny things about Facebook, sometimes people put two personal things inside that, at the end they say, oh, I shouldn't. Then the voices of friends and family, voices at the workplace, at school, at the uni, voices of popular opinion and culture trend. These voices bombard us every day, day and night, and night and day. Sometimes they shout at us very loud, and it's hard to tone them down. Some voices are louder than others, some more subtle than others, some more convincing than others. All these voices seek for what? For our attention. All these voices cry out, listen to me, hear me, believe in me. My question is, what voice would you allow, or what voice would you disallow? We must not forget there's a voice of conscience that speaks within. This voice of conscience neither agree or disagree with us, neither accuse or excuse us. Then we have the voice of God. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. We have also the voice of the Holy Spirit. Seven times in the book of Revelation, the Spirit say, he who has ear, let him hear what the Spirit say to the churches. Seven times. We have the voice of Scripture. Apostle Peter called us in 2 Peter chapter 1. And he tells us that the Word of God is sure, reliable, trustworthy, unshakable, unchanging with time. He said to us that the Word of God is the two-edged sword to divide soul and spirit, joint and marrow, thoughts and intent, true and false, to expose lies, half-truth and deception. Today, we come to the second chapter of 2 Peter. To most preachers, this chapter is considered to be one of the hardest chapters to preach. I wonder, sitting among us today, how many of you have heard this chapter preached, the whole chapter? Put up your hand. Come on, anyone. Because it's a very difficult chapter to preach. And it is so difficult, we do need the grace of God. Not just to preach, but also to hear. Why don't we pray? Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that your word is ever powerful. And we commit this time to you and ask that your Holy Spirit will anoint the preacher to bring forth your words of truth. And your Spirit, God, will anoint the hearer so that they are able to receive it with spiritual understanding, with an open heart. Because, Lord, your desire for us is always for good, O God. So we commit this time to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This chapter is as important as John 3:16. If it's put in the Bible, God do have a purpose. When you read this chapter, you come across Apostle Peter, and some of the words that he used are quite strong words, strong rebuking words. He used it on this false teacher, and he called them like unthinking animal. He called them animal, creatures of instinct, a dog returned to its vomit, or a wash pit returned to the mud. I mean, when you read and see the words that Peter used, your first thought is, it's not very Christ-like. Where is love? Understand this. False teacher is not part of the family. They are not family member. I cannot forget, as a young leader, and I was attending a church, a very young church that just started, and this young pastor said, would you come with me to the office? I want to talk to someone, and I need you to be there. I said, oh, okay, let's go to the office. And when I was there, he called this young man in, and he said to this young man, from today onward, you are not allowed, and you are not welcome to the church. I was taken back. I said, wait, the church is for everyone. How could this pastor do that? But I didn't say it. I was quite taken back. And he told him, the reason why you cannot come, because you are spreading false teaching in this church and it's not allowed. I was taken aback. And he didn't come to church anymore. But as I grow older, I begin to see the wisdom. Just as Apostle Paul and Peter, they were very strong against false teachers. And it's like Jesus. It's like Jesus. Because he called these false teachers as wolf in sheep clothing. And we need to see them as what they are. They go after vulnerable believers and they lead them away from God and they shipwreck their faith. We need to see them as what they are. They are deceiving, destructive, and dangerous. Look at Jesus. He showed compassion to the needy. He was very sympathetic to the seekers and to those that are lost. But he was very hard to the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees of his day. You know what Jesus called them? He called them blind, wiper, serpent, fool, dead man, bone, hypocrite, and much more if you look at the four gospels. Why? Because least the religious leader, they place a religious bondage over God's people. They lead the people away from God and lead them to who? To themselves. They lead God's people astray from the truth and the teaching of God. We come to 2 Peter chapter 2. I entitled this chapter, Stay Tuned. Yes, so many voices, so many wavelengths, so many radio frequencies, so many channels. Yet, we need to stay tuned to who? To the voice of Scripture, to the Bible. Especially in these last days. And the voice of Scripture tell us that in this last day, He warned us against false teacher. Look at verse 1 to verse 3. But there were also false prophets in Israel, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will cleverly teach destructive heresies and even deny the master who brought them. In this way, they will bring sudden destruction on themselves. Many will follow their evil teaching and shameful immorality. And because of this teacher, the way of truth will be slander. In their greed, they will make up clever lies to get hold of your money. But God condemned them long ago, and their destruction will not be delayed. False teacher. One time when I was in KL, I bought a Rolex watch for $100. And you know that a Rolex watch is 1,000. I bought it for 100. And it looks actually really real. I just want to wear it. You need to know the difference. And you need a keen eye to know what is genuine and what is false. So I occasionally wear it. And one day, when I was in the pastor meeting, and this pastor was sharing about a pastor who have this fake Rolex watch. And one day while he was preaching, he was banging on the pulpit and the glass came out and the different parts all came out on the floor. After that, I decided, should I wear or should I not wear this? Then I begin to realize, I'm here standing before you preaching the word of truth and wearing a fake watch. So I decided I should get rid of it. So Apostle Peter warned believers about false teacher. There are fake teacher coming to the church. And he said this, in the Old Testament, Israel have this problem. They have false prophet that comes, and this false prophet will come and he will lead Israel away from God. And he said, as it is common in Israel, in the Old Testament, so it will be common in the New Testament, where you will have false prophet, false teacher, and even false Christ preaching a false gospel in the early church and in our day today. And we will see more and more of them in this last day. Good thing about internet. I mean, you can send your mail, you can do a lot of things. But they are in the internet 24/7. Do you know how to spot them? The genuine from the fake. False teacher will sugarcoat the truth, twist the truth, and blur the truth. Now, if you have children, you'll realize that children never like medicine. How many children like medicine? They don't. So what do? They add some sugar in it and coat it and make it sweet for the children. So is false teaching. They are sugar-coated so that the hearer is unaware of what he or she is hearing. And because they do not know, they are unaware, they will take in everything, line, hook, and sinker. And Peter said that this false teacher, you know, have a very destructive heresy. They cleverly teach this destructive heresy. And they will bring a little error onto the truth. A little error. And I thought, God, how do I explain this little error? This is what I see. One day when I was in Bunning. How many of you like to go to Bunning? Don't go there because you will end up spending money. I went to Bunning and I was buying paint. You realize that paint, no matter whatever color you want, the base color is what? White. White color. If biblical truth is white color, at Bunning, I want some other color. With this can of white, pure white, all you need is just one drop. Just one drop. One drop of different color. And what happened after a bit of shaking? The whole white paint is changed to a different color. The same is a little error. A little error injected to the truth of God's word. Then Peter said, their heresies is destructive because their teaching, their belief, their philosophy deny the Lord who brought them. Denying the Lord who brought them. So, this question, how are they bought? How are they bought? Well, they are only bought not by silver or by gold, but by what? by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And how do they get this precious blood of Jesus Christ? It's only by the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's how they are born. So, in the early church, you know, the false teacher, you know, one of the common heresies of the early church that the false teacher were teaching is that they deny the person and the work of Jesus Christ. They deny his incarnation, that Jesus came in the flesh, that the Word became flesh. They deny his sinless life. They deny his substitution for our sin, that Jesus Christ came to die for our sin. They deny it. They deny his death, that he died in the body. And they deny that he resurrected in the body. If you look at all the epistles that is written by Paul, Paul tackled all this question. And of course, they deny his ascension, that Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of the Father with all power and glory. When you deny the work of Christ and the person of Christ, then where is victory over sin, over death, over hell? They deny the return of Jesus Christ to reward the sin and to judge the world. So, Peter said, this false teacher slander in verse 2, and because this teacher, the way of truth, will be slander. How do you slander the way of truth? Jesus said, the way is what? Narrow. The way is narrow. So how do you slander the way of truth? It's to make the narrow so narrow with all the rules and regulation that you end up in what? In bondages. Become legalism. The other way is the opposite. Make the narrow so broad and so wide, let anything go, everything go, because it's all about grace, grace, and more grace. And what does that happen? What does it do? You become a very liberal Christian. Anything is okay. So that is what Peter said, that they slander the way of truth. And in fact, he tells us, because they slander the way of truth in verse 2, they recruit a crowd of mixed-up followers who cannot tell right from wrong. That these people who follow false teacher, they can't tell what is right and what is wrong. Why do they do it? Well, Peter said, they do it for one word called greed. Greed. In their greed, they will make up clever lies to get hold of your what? Your money. Your money. Greed for money. Beware. When someone is only after your money and have no concern for your soul. One of the things about TV today, in the early morning, sometime when you watch Christian channel, not all of them truly preach the Christ that we believe. Some of them are there to plead for what? Your money. Give me your money. If you don't give me the money, my ministry will be closed. These are not Jesus' way. And who are they after? I tell you who they are after. Those who cannot sleep. And who are those people who cannot sleep and don't sleep much? The elderly people. They become vulnerable to them. So they are after your money. And then they are greedy for the approval and the praise of men. The Bible calls it pride. You know, in our society today, we are asked to be, come on, be more tolerant. Tolerate. And so we tolerate false teachers, then expose them. The early church faced the same threat like us. The apostle Paul, Peter, John spoke against them. Sometimes with very harsh word, this false teacher led God's people to apostasy, moving away from the truth. This week, know that there are genuine and counterfeit Christianity. There is truth from the uncompromising word of God and makes feel-good and watered-down truth preached in Christianity. Can you spot the difference? Can you? Will you reject the faith for the real? One leads to life, the other to death. Your choice is important to your soul. Stay tuned to the warning of false prophet. Second thing Peter said to us, we need to stay tuned to the coming judgment and deliverance. From verse 4 to verse 11. For God did not spare even the angel who sinned. He threw them into hell, in the gloomy pit of darkness, where they have been held until the day of judgment. And God did not spare the ancient world, except for Noah and his seven others in the family. Noah warned the world of God's righteous judgment. So God protected Noah when he destroyed the world of ungodly people with a vast flood. Later, God condemned the city of Sodom and Gomorrah and turned them into a heap of ashes. He made them an escape of what will happen to ungodly people. But God also rescued Lot out of Sodom because he was a righteous man who was sick of the shameful immorality of the wicked people around him. Yes, Lot was a righteous man who was tormented in his soul by the wickedness he saw day and heard day and night. So you see, the Lord knows how to rescue the godly people from the trial, even while keeping the wicked under punishment until the day of his final coming. He is especially hard on those who follow their own twisted sexual desire and who despite authority. These people are proud and arrogant, daring to scorn and supernatural being without so much as trembling. But the angel, who are far greater in power and strength, do not dare to bring from the Lord a charge of blasphemy against those supernatural beings. Beware. Stay tuned to the coming judgment and the coming deliverance. I think about the parable of the tares and wheat. In this parable, the good master went to sow. He sowed wheat. In the night, the enemy came and he sowed what? Tares. And as they were beginning to grow, the servant came to the master, what are we going to do? The wheat and the tare are both growing. Should we take out the tare? The master said, leave them together. Leave them alone. But when the time comes for the harvest, gather the wheat and bring it to where? The barn. Gather the tare and what? Burn it. Now, it must be quite frustrating for Peter and for even Paul to see the false teacher of his day and to see that they preach such and destructive heresies and they seem to live a very permissive life and they seem to get away with it. I ask you, will they get away with it? No. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sow, that shall he also reap. A day of judgment is coming to this false teacher who promotes falsehood, live unholy life, and despite authority. But the day of deliverance is also coming to the faithful in God. And so Peter used the Old Testament history, the history of God's judgment. He used how God judged the angels that rebel and sin against him. And then he used the unbeliever destroyed in the flood of Noah. And then he used the citizens of Sodom and Gomorrah, how they were destroyed in Lot's time. You see, God judged the heavenly and the earthly creature who disbelieve and disobey. So he will surely judge and punish every false teacher, every false prophet, and every false believer. No escape. In this day of increasing heresies, there's a downturn on God coming judgment. They will say, God is love. He will not punish us. This is the lie and the deception of false teaching. Be assured, the Bible says, judgment will come. But for those of us who are faithful, those of us who hold on to the faith, hold on to the truth, for those of us who trust in Jesus Christ, there is a great promise in verse 9. So you see, the Lord knows, say amen to that. The Lord knows. He knows your name. He knows your address. He knows where you are. The Lord knows how to rescue who? The godly people from their trial, while keeping the wicked under punishment until the final day of judgment. You know, when I look at this passage, I think of Peter using Noah and Lot as an example of God's deliverance. They were not perfect men. They obeyed God. But both of them had their own personal weakness. Both got drunk and got into trouble in their latest years. Yet Peter said, Noah is a preacher of righteousness. And yet Peter said, Lord is righteous Lord. Why? Why? Because one bad decision does not cancel or stop the grace of God. Say amen to that. One bad decision does not say you are finished. God in His mercy still call him the preacher of righteousness and righteous Lord. God is not looking for our perfection. He's looking for our love, faith, and obedience to Him. Why are we spared, saved, and delivered? Simply because of God's grace. No matter how weak we are, how imperfect we are, His grace is enough, say amen to that, to save us and to deliver us and to keep us from the coming judgment. Every time when the New Testament used Noah, it's always in connection to the coming of Jesus Christ. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and party and wedding right up to the time Noah entered his boat. One day, very soon, Christ will return. Judgment will come. But deliverance is also promised to the faithful. Are you ready? One thing that amazes me is Lot's life. Righteous Lot. When I think about Lot, how his living condition affect his life. The Bible tells us that this righteous Lot living among Sodom and Gomorrah, and he was alone. No encouragement, no support from others. Alone. How it torment his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing this, their lawless deed. I think in our world today, we see so much evil, so much things that are happening. I want to let you know, the Lord that was burning, a burning Lord, became colder and colder each passing day. In this day and in this age, we must never live our Christian life alone by ourselves. We need encouragement and support from one another as we wait for His day of coming judgment and His day of coming deliverance. Look around. Turn to someone around. Someone here, your neighbor, your brother and your sister, is your encouragement and is your support. As much as you are to them. We need one another if we are to pursue and press on in our Christian life. Paul talked about, as you see the last day, do not forget the coming together. The coming together to strengthen each other. May I encourage you, live every day with the expectancy of His coming and his deliverance promised to the godly. Live a godly life. Live under spiritual authority. It's your covering and protection. Do not allow the spirit of this world, the spirit of this age to erode your faith, love, and obedience to Christ. Say amen to that. Now, he said, stay tuned to false prophet. Stay tuned to the coming judgment and deliverance. Now he said, I want you to stay tuned to the behavior of false teachers. Look at verse 12 to verse 16. These false teachers are like unthinking animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed. They scoff at things they do not understand, and like animals, they will be destroyed. That destruction is their reward for the harm they have done. They love to indulge in sexual, in evil pleasure in broad daylight. They are a disgrace and a stain among you. They delight in deception even as they eat with you in your fellowship meal. They commit adultery with their eyes, and their desire for the sin is never satisfied. They lure unstable people into sin, and they were well trained in greed. They live under God's curse. They have wandered off the road, the right road, and followed the footsteps of Balaam, the son of the boy, who loved to earn money for doing wrong. But Balaam was stopped from his mad course when his donkey rebuked him with a human voice. Stay tuned to their behavior. One thing about false teacher, they don't come to you and say, I'm a false teacher. You know the story of Little Red Riding Hood? How many of you have heard this story of Little Red Riding Hood? Little Red Riding Hood wanted to go and see Grandma. And then Little Red Riding Hood walking along, was trying to pick some flower, and the wolf came. Where are you going? I'm going to see my grandma. So what did the wolf do? This big fat wolf went to Grandma's house, tied Grandma up, and discussed like Grandma. Little Red Riding Hood went into the house and looked at Grandma. And then he said to Grandma, Grandma, your voice is very rough. Oh, the wolf said, I just got a cold. He said, Grandma, your ear is very big. You know, and then he said to me, Grandma, your eyes is also very big. You know, and he said, Grandma, you have big teeth. Almost too late, Little Red Riding Hood realized the person in the bed was not grandmother, but the big, fat, hungry wolf. She knew. How about you when it comes to false teachers? So, here, Peter tells us how to spot false teacher. Their heresies is destructive. They sugarcoat them, but they may be able to say so sweet and so well and so eloquent, so persuasive. They sugarcoat, but one thing speaks louder than everything. That is their behavior, their character. And so he described them as unthinking animals, with animal instinct, that speak without understanding or knowledge, projecting themselves to be cleverer than what they are. But the very core that is inside is corrupt. You know, you heard this old proverb, empty vessels make the most noise. How many of you heard of that? Let me correct you on that. You take a container, a metal container, and you fill it with sand to the very top. Shake it. What do you hear? Nothing. So, full vessel doesn't make noise. You take the same container, throw away all the sand. and now it's empty. Shake it. What do you hear? Nothing. But you take this same container and fill half with sand. Shake it. What do you hear? You hear noise. So I want to correct you. Empty vessel doesn't make noise. It's half vessels. And these false teachers, actually, are half vessels because they present a half truth and half truth. And this half truth that they present are good, sweet code, so nice, so convincing that the Bible tells that they are unstable soul. Unstable. You know why they're unstable? Because they don't have what? The word. Unstable soul, weak mind, vulnerable. And he takes them in and he attracts them and he sucks them in. Because he is not bringing them to Jesus Christ. He's bringing them to himself. Peter said, worse of that, he comes to the church in the love feast. You see, in those days, they have the love feast, like we have communion. But their love feast is of different entity. In the love feast, they also have a meal. And in this meal, those that have will bring for those that don't have, so that they will share the meal. And this is what Peter said, that they come to this love feast and took advantage of it, and they take it as an opportunity to promote themselves and to display their wealth. As Peter said, their behavior, they are after what? They are after your wallet and pocket. They are after your money. You know, they cover what you have. And why do they want that? To keep and maintain their lifestyle. Compare this to what Jesus said when he sent them two by two to do his work in Mark chapter 6, verse 9 and to verse 11. Let me read to you the Message Bible. Don't think you need a lot of extra equipment for this. You are the equipment. No special appeal for fun. Keep it simple and no luxurious inn. No five-star hotel. Get a modest place and be content there until you leave. If you are not welcome, not listened to, quietly withdraw. Do not make a scene. Shrug your shoulder and be on your way. Wow. So different. So different. You know, it's my job as a pastor to protect this church. And I do have people who write, say, I want to come to your church to preach. And I ask them, what do you expect? And when they tell me, I need five-star hotel, you need to pay my air ticket, you need to take a love offering for this and that, I look at them, I say, is that what Jesus would do? I want you to know, folks, in this church, we are very generous to preachers that come, especially those who are not paid by the church. That means they are not a pastor. They are evangelists. They are moving around as an interim pastor. We as a church, with the blessing of the board, we are very generous. We want to bless them. That's what Jesus taught us. But when it comes with all this requirement, it does not dictate what the word of God says. Freely you give, freely you receive, freely what? You give. They are not here to serve the church. They are here to exploit the church. Just like Balaam. Balaam sold his gift for money and personal glory. When Balak offered Balaam wealth, it was too tempting for him to say no. So he loved money. He took it. And when he took it, he let Israel away from God and they fall into sin. The Bible tells us this. Balaam himself had forsaken the right way and gone astray. And not only he brought others along the way with him. And God has to use a dumb donkey. A dumb donkey to open his mouth and talk and get his attention. May I say, no deception is more dangerous than self-deception. This teacher has fallen into their own trap. Jesus said this, be wary of false preachers who smile a lot, dripping with practical sincerity, chances that they are out to rip you off some way or other. Do not be impressed with charisma. Look for character. Who preachers are is the main thing, not what they say. A genuine leader will never exploit your emotion or your pocketbook. Always remember, character before charisma. It's a good gauge of a man of God. Even if they can perform miracles, has wonderful signs and wonder, adequate and polished in their work, if they have no character, be what? Beware. Last point from Peter. Difficult, eh? Is it too much for you? Are you sweating? You are not, I'm sweating. Last point. He talked about the road sign. The road sign that you need to see. I know that road signs are important to driver. There are stop sign, slow sign, speed sign, direction sign, and others. The purpose is to help driver to drive safe. So Peter, you know, from verse 17 to verse 22, give us the road sign, three road signs that we should take note to spot false teacher. Character is one thing, but character takes what? Takes time for you to find out. So he said, these are the road signs. And these road signs are warning signs. Warning sign to you that danger are ahead. Look at verse 17 to 22. These people are as useless as dry up spring or as meat blown away by the wind. They are doomed to bed rest darkness. They brag about themselves with empty foolish boasting. With an appeal to twist sexual desire, they lure back into sin. Into sin those who have barely escaped from a lifestyle of deception. They promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves of sin and corruption, for you are a slave to whatsoever controls you. And when people escape from the wickedness of this world by knowing our Lord Jesus Christ, and then get entangled up and enslaved by sin again, they are worse off than before. It would be better if they had never known the way of righteousness than to know it and then reject the command that were given to live a holy life. They prove the truth of this proverb. A dog returned to his vomit, and another say, a washpit returned to the man. So, he said these are the three road signs that you need to look out for. The first road sign is false promises. This false teacher, they promise great, big promises, but they are short in delivering. So they are well without water. How many of you have gone to a well and find no water? You are thirsty. You need water. You go to a well and the well is empty. So these are the people. Big in promise, short in delivery. Well without water. They are crowd without rain. You need rain. The farmer needs rain. And you need rain. And you see the black cloud coming. And you are so happy to see the black cloud. The rain is coming. The rain is coming. And what happened? The black cloud just passed by you. No rain at all. They promised light, but brought darkness to themselves and their followers. They promised freedom, but brought bondage to themselves and their followers. They experience bondage and slavery rather than the freedom in Christ. Why? Because their belief and message are empty lies and deception. You know, to these people, what would Peter say? What would Jesus say? he will say this: Physician, heal yourself, because they have nothing. Then he said, false transformation. They reject the basic command written in 1 Peter 1:16. You must be holy because I am holy. They have escaped the corruption and the wickedness of this world and still return to it. They are caught and snared and tangled, trapped by the pleasure of sin. Sin is fun. Sin is pleasurable. But sin has its consequences. So is Jesus Christ their Savior and Lord? Do they live a holy life? Do they overcome the world? The answer is no, no, and no. Their life carries this message. And their life tells it all. What is the message? They prove the truth of this proverb. A dog returned to its vomit. And another say, a wash pit returned to the mud. The last thing, the last road sign, is false followers. These false teachers are not alone. They have followers. And these followers are sucked into their sweet coat teaching, their easy belief, their permissive lifestyle, and their money-making merchandise. See, from verse 18 to verse 22, see the word they and them. So many they and them is used. For how do they do it? They go after unstable, vulnerable souls. Those that do not know the scripture. Those who do not know the word. They go after them and they suck them in. And what happened to this false follower? They see them as God. They see them as wow. You know, in the Western world today, there is actual fact such a culture where a leader is put up so high. Let me tell you, in Grace City Church, we preach only one person, we exhort only one person, we promote only one person, and that is Jesus Christ. He died for our sin. Let me ask you, would you follow Jesus or the dog that eat his own vomit? Or a wash pig that return to the mud? The simple answer, follow Jesus Christ. Study his word. Love his word. Know his word. In closing, let me tell you a story from the Bible. It's about the Berean Christian, found in Acts chapter 17, verse 10 to verse 15. Paul and Silas went there, and Paul and Silas preached. I think Paul must be a great preacher. I mean, a man who has so much knowledge. So he presented the message. And the Bible tells that they hear, they receive, and they accept the message. But they were not naive. The Bible tells us, they did not take Paul's words for it. They went back and they searched the scripture daily to find out whether this thing that is spoken by Paul and Silas is true or false. It doesn't offend me if you go back and search the scripture each time I preach. It doesn't offend me. It's good that you do that. And when you think I'm wrong, come and tell me. You know, the other day I was hearing my message. I preached and I was to give you the example of, you know, Hezekiah showing his wealth to the Assyrian. Actually, fact, I went back and hear my message. It was wrong. It was not to the Assyrian. It was to the Babylonian. See, I know my mistake. The Berean Christian must hold scripture in a high regard and is their daily pursuit, the source of truth. And this become the only reference book and material that they will read and search for the truth. Not Google, amen. Not Google, but the Bible. The only way to know the truth and spot false teaching is with the two-edged sword of the word of truth, the word of God. John chapter 17, verse 17 tells us, your word is truth. It's a very hard passage to preach this morning. I do my very best to present so that you know there is genuine, there is false. Do you know the difference? Not everybody who disagrees with us is false. Sometimes the scripture, maybe the scripture is, you look at the scripture as this, some people see it from this side, some people see it from this side, you see a different shape. Some people see it from below, they see a hand holding the Bible. But to really understand the scripture, we need to see it at what? Totality. And how do we see it to that totality? Is scripture must interpret scripture. Let's pray. Can I have the musician to come? Christ is a solid rock, I stand. All other ground are sinking sand. Don't you think so? So appropriate is that song. Be like Little Red Riding Hood. Eh? Know the difference.
This is the end of the message. We trust you have been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.